morning, everybody. Thank you. How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Just wanted to let you guys know that I love each and every one of you. And I am really blessed I get to share God's word with you all this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. What a camp we've been having, learning about our superhero, Jesus Christ. Last night, we got to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, and on the third, after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he was raised from the dead to everlasting life. In Acts 1, we learn that he showed himself alive for 40 days to many infallible proofs, over 500 brethren at one time. But Jesus Christ conquered death. Death had no dominion over Jesus Christ. And while considering Jesus Christ 40 days on the earth showing himself alive, I asked myself, well, why isn't Jesus Christ around today? You know, if Jesus Christ never had to die anymore, why isn't he still on the earth? You know, why can't we see Jesus Christ right now? Why isn't he teaching us? And there's a real great answer for that in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, in verse 5, it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou?" You know, I'm going to leave you guys, but none of you are asking me, where are you going? "But because I have said these things," verse 6, "unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." His disciples were sad. They were sorrowed that Jesus Christ was going to leave them. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus Christ said, it's good for you. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter to you. But if I go away, then I can send the Comforter to you. Turn to Luke 24. It's good for Jesus Christ's disciples, that he goes away so that he can send forth the Comforter. Now today, this morning, we're going to get into the ascension of Jesus Christ and the sending of Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, it's the first record of three that we're going to look at of Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. Remember what we learned in John, that it's good for them that Jesus Christ goes away. Let me get there. Let's see, Luke 24, and we'll start reading in verse 49. "And behold, I, Jesus Christ, send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from where? On high." This is what we just learned about in John 16. It's good for you that I go away so that I can send the promise of the Father, so that I can send Holy Spirit to you. Verse 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into where? Heaven. This is the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ led his disciples to the town of Bethany. He raised his hands, and while he blessed them, he was lifted up into heaven. And as we look at the three records of the ascension in the Bible, this is a wonderful example of how the Word of God interprets itself, how we are to work God's Word so that we can let the Scripture build upon itself so that we can get the whole picture, you know, the whole event of the ascension into heaven. We are going to work God's Word as workmen's, so we can see all of the detail, all of the events of the ascension, because one gospel might not give the whole account. So turn to Acts chapter 1. So Luke showed us that he went out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he blessed them with his hands raised, he was taken from them into heaven. Acts chapter 1, we covered some of this yesterday. We'll start in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Over 500 people at one time saw Jesus Christ's resurrected body. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So while Jesus Christ was on the earth for 40 days after being resurrected, he was teaching his followers about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. That's what we just looked at John 16 and Luke 24. Said, it's good for you that I go away so I can send the Comforter. By ascending into heaven, it made Jesus Christ available to send the Holy Spirit. Wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So 40 days after the resurrection, they are to wait for the coming of the promise of the Father, which of course came on the day of Pentecost. So we know they were waiting in Jerusalem for 10 days. The day of Pentecost was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You know, like Bob said when he taught, the disciples didn't really understand Jesus is Christ coming. They thought he was going to be a political savior. They thought he was going to deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. They thought Jesus Christ was going to be the warrior king, that he was going to come and he was going to free Israel and reign as king. They didn't quite get Jesus Christ coming and what he was there for. Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus Christ got him back to the matter at hand, the topic that was important, and that was the coming of Holy Spirit. You know, he wasn't a political savior, he was a spiritual savior. He came to make Holy Spirit available, make eternal life available. And Jesus Christ gets him back to the matter at hand, the coming forth of Holy Spirit. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's pretty cool. You talk about a superhero. You talk about abilities. How about riding a cloud into heaven? That's pretty cool. Yeah. Think of like the Silver Surfer riding on his silver wave. Well, Jesus Christ can fly. That's pretty cool. Talk about a superhero. But in Luke, you might remember that it didn't mention a cloud. You know, Acts 1 says he was taken up upon a cloud. Does that mean that these two scriptures are contradicting each other? No. It's an example of scripture buildup. We work God's word so that we can see the whole picture on this topic. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. You know, you can just imagine this. They kind of got their tongues hanging out, their jaws dropped. You know, Jesus Christ just split on a cloud into heaven. You know, that's pretty far out. You know, that doesn't just happen all the time. So they're there. They got their jaws dropped to the floor. And two men stood by them in white apparel. The white apparel indicates that these are two angels. And the angels in verse 11 said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into where? Heaven. You know, that's kind of a funny question that they ask him. Why are you guys looking up into heaven? What do you mean? He just bounced on a cloud. Are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? What do you mean? Why are we looking up into heaven? But the angels gave the disciples a wonderful promise here. And that promise is that the same way Jesus Christ left on a cloud, he's going to return in the same manner upon a cloud. And that's our hope, that Jesus Christ is going to come back for us. You know, through his ascension, he makes available Holy Spirit. It's good for him that he goes away. But the same way that God fulfilled those promises in sending his Son and paying for our sins, fulfilling all of that red thread that we learned about, this promise is still future. You know, God hasn't sent his Son back yet. But just as he fulfilled all those promises, you can bet that he'll fulfill the promise of sending his Son back. And they returned, verse 12, they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So it says that they were on a mount called Olivet. Well, in Luke, didn't it say that they were at a town called Bethany? You know, you might think that that might contradict itself. You know, maybe the Bible is wrong in that, because that's two different places. Well, if you look up Bethany, Bethany is a town on the Mountain of Olives. God's word fits together like a hand in a glove. Turn to Mark chapter 16. You know, the word doesn't contradict itself, but it adds more detail so that we can get a better picture. And it's funny, the Mount Bethany is 4 or 5 miles away from Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day's journey. Mark chapter 16, we'll look at our final ascension record. There's a brief record that talks about the ascension. In verse 19, it says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them," we read in Acts that he was teaching them about things of the kingdom of God. He was teaching them about the coming of Holy Spirit. "After the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So we get a little more added information on where Jesus Christ ended up after he ascends on a cloud. It says that he sat on the right hand of God. In the East, in the lands of the Bible, the right hand was a hand of blessing. Jesus Christ sat on the right hand of God. And when you see the word sat or seated in the Bible concerning spiritual things, it refers to it as being finished or being completed or fulfilled. With the ascension into heaven, with Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God, he fulfilled, he completed his first coming to earth. And he's waiting to come back to gather us up together. How wonderful is that? How blessed is Jesus Christ in the ascension to heaven? He sits on the hand of blessing in God, in heaven with God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 now. So we just looked at the three records of the ascension, and the ascension is mentioned many more times throughout the Bible. And in Hebrews, we're going to look at a bunch of wonderful verses about Jesus Christ and where he is now and what he's doing. I got ahead of myself. So we just looked at the three records of the ascension, and we looked at scripture buildup and how we got a complete view on the record of the ascension. And I wrote down a paragraph that sort of briefly summarizes the things that we learned about the ascension. The ascension of Jesus Christ occurred at Bethany, a town on the Mount of Olives, a short distance from Jerusalem, called a Sabbath day's journey. Jesus Christ taught tremendous truths unto his followers, particularly about the coming of Holy Spirit. He then lifted his hands, and as he blessed them, they beheld him being parted from them on a cloud. A cloud received them out of their sight, carrying into heaven, where he sat on the right hand of God. They then looked steadfastly unto heaven when he went up, and almost immediately two angels appeared to them and spoke of his promised return. The disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy to wait for the coming of the promise of the Father. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read in verse 3, it says, "Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This verse is a result of Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. It says that he upheld all things by the word. Jesus Christ fulfilled God's plan of redemption perfectly, and now he sits on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ's work is complete. In verse 8, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he says, Who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus Christ reigns forever in heaven. Jesus Christ has been given a name above all other names. It says that he's higher than the angels. Jesus Christ is second in command only unto God. He's exalted. He is blessed. He is God's right-hand man sitting on the right hand of blessing. That's a result of Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Professions. This word into in the Greek is actually through the heavens. Jesus Christ didn't just go into heaven. He actually passed through the heavens. You talk about power. You talk about abilities. He passed through the heavens. How great is that? And he's our high priest. I think that gives a new meaning to the word high priest. Not only is Jesus Christ blessed, is he exalted above every other name, second to God, but he's also passed through the heavens. He's our high priest, both literally and physically. Spiritually and physically. Sorry. Let's keep reading. Let us hold fast our professions, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without what? Sin. Without sin. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, you know, he didn't just hide out in a cave for 30 years and study his Bible. Jesus Christ faced life head on. It says he went through our temptations. He knows what our weaknesses are, and he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ always did the will of his Father, and he fulfilled God's plan of redemption perfectly, not by hiding out, you know, or isolating himself, but by facing life head on, proving God's word. Verse 16. Let us therefore, because of Jesus Christ being our high priest, because of him reigning forever, because of his completed redemptive work, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, and this leads us into, well, what is Jesus Christ doing now? You know, Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God, the seat of blessing. Is he just kind of up there chilling? Is he, what, is he on vacation? Maybe sipping a mojito waiting for us? Or no. It says here that because of Jesus Christ, we can find help in time of need from God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We can come boldly to the throne of grace where Jesus Christ is sitting with God and find help. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful reality. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continues ever, because he has eternal life, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You know, when back with the high priest, they would change. Jesus Christ's priesthood reigns forever. Verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. So you might ask yourself, what is Jesus Christ doing now? It says here that he ever lives. He lives forever in heaven to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He represents us to God. You can think of him as a defense attorney on our side. You know, the greatest lawyer that ever lived. If you had him on your side in a trial, you think you might be a little confident going in there? Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who always did the will of the Father, represents us to God now. You know, we have shortcomings, we have failings, we have sin. But Jesus Christ defends our case to God. Jesus Christ represents us. And he says, look, God, you said that if I do all this, that it's going to save them from their sins. And you know what? God's like, yep, I did say that. And because of that work, God represents us. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, or he was fully human, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than where? The heavens. Jesus Christ was fully human. Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like we were. We are, yet without sin. But he was separate from sinners. We learn that Jesus Christ was the second Adam, that he was born without sin, and he always did the will of the Father. He never sinned. He was separate from the sinners and made higher than the heavens. Verse 28, for the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Jesus Christ is exalted in his position above in heaven forever. He fulfilled his coming perfectly, and now he represents us to God and makes intercession for us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Oh, excuse me, Hebrews 9. We'll look at one more record in Hebrews about where Jesus Christ is now. Hebrews 9, in verse 24, we read, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. You know, he's not in a physical place, he's in heaven, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. Isn't that what we've been seeing? God is in the presence, or Jesus Christ is in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ is our superhero. I think Bob was talking about how in Chicago, Michael Jordan was sort of a superhero to them. And, you know, number 23 was everywhere. Well, Jesus Christ is so exalted, so blessed, yet he ever lives for us in the presence of God. I think you can think of it as we're on Jesus Christ's team. You know, I really like sports, and I'm really into sports. So I imagine like a Pop Warner basketball team. You know, imagine some 5 and 6 year olds running around playing basketball, looking real cute. And then Michael Jordan comes in, and Michael Jordan's on your son's team. You think he might be able to dominate a little bit? might give a little stiff arm and just dunk it right in their faces? You think that team might have some victory? You think they might feel confident going into situations? They got Michael Jordan on their team? Well, what about us? We have Jesus Christ on our side. He's in the presence of God for us, to make intercession for us, to represent us to Christ. Our superhero is on our side for eternity. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God by the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. We've been saved by believing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, verse 22, and is where? On the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. After Jesus Christ was raised from the dead 40 days, he ascended into heaven, where he now resides, exalted above every other name, above principalities, above angels, above every other name which can be named. And Jesus Christ is now second in command to God. Before God lost his second in command, and because of that, there was terrible consequences. But now Christ has overcame those consequences of God's second in command's falling. And also, by Adam's sin, by Adam's transgressions, Jesus Christ has paid the price for those sins, and he has fixed the problem of Adam. Amen. And now he lives forever above all other names. Ephesians chapter 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read in verse 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when he ascended into heaven, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive. Captivity is something that enslaves us, something that, puts people in bondage. Well, those things that enslave us, Jesus Christ enslaved those things. Those things that, could possibly be a snare or a trap or enslave us, Jesus Christ enslaved those things. How wonderful a truth is that. Verse 9, now that he ascended, Christ, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that is ascended up far above the heavens, all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. We've just been looking how Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. But if you think back a mere 40 days, where was Jesus Christ before that? It says that he was beaten, his body was broken on the tree, on the cross, and he was buried for 3 days and three nights. He was descended into the lower parts of the earth. Can you get any lower than that? Beaten, his body mutilated beyond the point of recognition. He was dead and buried. The lowest part of human existence is being dead in the grave. We all have times where we feel low, where we're just a little bit down on ourselves, whether it's our fears or just any situation that may happen, we might get a little down on ourselves. But can you ever get lower than Jesus Christ was? No. Death is the lowest point in human existence. But he that descended first, descended also that ascended far above all the heavens. Jesus Christ is higher than high. He's exalted above everyone. Does it get any higher than that? Can you get any higher than passing through the heavens? No. He that descended also ascended. And in between those two points is all of human existence. It says in Hebrews that he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He faced life head on. All the challenges, everything that we might go through that might enslave us or tempt us, he faced them head on. And by doing this without sin, he proved that the Word of God works in every situation. God's Word is powerful and it works in every situation. Jesus Christ proved this in his life. He was the lowest of the lows, and now he's the highest of the highs. Turn to Acts chapter 2, where we'll close in Acts. Jesus Christ is the complete Savior. he fulfilled all that God had sent him to do. Remember where we started this morning in John 16 about how it's good for us that Jesus Christ goes to heaven, how it's better for you. It's better than for you that I go into heaven instead of staying on the earth for these 2,000 years that we've, you know, been. It's better for us that he goes to heaven. Why? So that he could send the promise of the Father. He could send the Comforter to us. He could make available the gift of Holy Spirit by going to his Father, by ascending into heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, we'll read in verse 1. And it says, when the day of what? Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I think after this week, we'll have a much greater appreciation of the phrase fully come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. You know, this is the pinnacle, the what everything was building up to. When Adam fell and God gave the promise in Genesis 3 that he would send a Savior, all through the Old Testament, that red thread that we looked at, the promise of the coming one, this Savior that would redeem mankind, bring them back to God, reconnect that spirit connection that had been lost. Christ came, fulfilled God's word, died for our sins, was raised again. Then he was raised from the dead, showed himself alive for 40 days, then ascended into heaven. After all of this, the day of Pentecost was fully come. Wow, what a story. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. This is the pinnacle of mankind. This is why Jesus Christ came. This is why he ascended into heaven, so that he could send forth the gift of Holy Spirit. And God marks it out with a wonderful sign. Fire coming down from heaven and splitting into cloven. Cloven means split. Like if you think of a hoof, it's split. It's cloven. Well, the fire split and sat upon each of their heads, marking this wonderful day of the coming of Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit was fully come. And what did God do to mark out this monumental event, this event that all of human history was leading up to? He marked it out by speaking in tongues. And what a wonderful privilege it is today that we can still speak in tongues, that it's a witness to us that all of this is true. Just like the apostles spoke in tongues on that day of Pentecost, we too can speak in tongues and operate that manifestations of the Spirit that God made available. To close, let's look at Acts 2, verse 32. The day of Pentecost, Acts 32. This is Peter preaching to the multitude. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You know, they were witnesses of the resurrection. They saw Jesus Christ in his new body. They saw him ascend into heaven on a cloud. They were witnesses of all of this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the what? The promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Wow. The fulfilling of God's word. The fulfilling of the promise of the Father coming. Jesus Christ was teaching them about the kingdom of God, about the promise which was to come. And you know what? It came just like they had promised, just like God through Jesus Christ had promised. And this is Peter speaking by revelation, that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, exalted above every other name, second only to God, fixing Adam's sin problem. And you have received the promise of the Father. You know, that which was had been promised, they had received it. And what was what did God mark this out by? That they had seen and heard it. You know, they had saw the fire come down from heaven, and they had heard them speak by the Spirit, speaking in tongues. What a wonderful record. What a wonderful event. The ascension and the coming forth of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So I'll close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Daddy, we are just so blessed to learn about you more, to learn about the fulfilled, completed work of our big brother, Jesus Christ, and how we return to you to make Holy Spirit available to us, and how blessed we are to have received this Holy Spirit, that we can operate the gift of Holy Spirit, that we can speak in tongues and be witnesses that you have raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. We are very blessed to live in this time, that we can know you and know your Son, Jesus Christ, and how exalted and how blessed he is. So I thank you, and I pray for this day just to continue to be a blessing and a joy to all of us. So I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.